Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 23rd of September, the 267th day of 2024, with a synchronous 99 days remaining on our way to 2025. Heavenward, early tomorrow morning in the southeast sky, our last quarter moon, now a waning gibbous moon, will slide by the bright planet Jupiter, the bright red stars Aldebaran and Betelgeuse, and the bright red planet Mars, which the morning after next, our then waning crescent moon, will lie near. Near the beginning of the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock, birthday boy T.S. Eliot suggests, "Let us go then, you and I, when the evening is spread out against the sky, like a patient etherized upon a table. Let us go through certain half-deserted streets, the muttering retreats of restless nights in one-night cheap hotels, and sawdust restaurants with oyster shells, streets that follow like a tedious argument of insidious intent to lead you to an overwhelming question. Oh, do not ask, what is it? Let us go and make our visit." And visit we might, motivated by this past Wednesday's second 2024 Maine Fall Foliage Report, which tells us that zones 6 and 7, essentially the northern third of the state, are currently rated as moderate, or 30 to 50% leaf color change, bringing to mind of some the poem by E.E. Cummings, roughly paraphrased as, "A leaf falls on loneliness." Peak conditions for the rest of the state, the foliage report goes on to say, are expected by mid-October. Meanwhile, my son Gabriel had his 47th birthday this past Friday. He now embarks on that tenuous journey toward the Big 5-0. Having arrived myself at 47, 25 years ago, I can only tell him that he will be surprised at all that might happen inside the next 3 years. After all, occurring when it does seasonally, his birthday is on the cusp, the last rose of summer, with all the autumnal wonders the world holds ahead of him. Today in 1580, after nearly 3 years at sea, English Admiral Francis Drake aboard the Golden Hind arrived in Plymouth Harbor, England, completing his circumnavigation of the world. Today in 1665, the height of the Great Plague of London occurred as 7,165 people had died in the previous week. Today in 1946, the first edition of Herges, The Adventures of Tintin, was published. Today in 1960, the first televised U.S. presidential debate occurred, featuring candidates Richard Nixon and John Kennedy. Today in 1962, the American TV series The Beverly Hillbillies debuted on CBS. Today in 1964, the sitcom Gilligan's Island debuted on CBS. Today in 1968, Hawaii Five-0 was first broadcast on CBS. Today in 1969, Apple Records released The Beatles' Abbey Road, and the American sitcom The Brady Bunch premiered on ABC. And today in 1984, President Ronald Reagan vetoed sanctions against South Africa. Today in 1895, in New York City's Hell's Kitchen, German-Jewish immigrants Eva Glockner and Conrad Renf welcomed into the world their new son George, whom they would raise in Hell's Kitchen as well. In later life, George described his early years as those of a layabout, who half-heartedly tried to make a living as a boxer before becoming a dance hall taxi dancer, where the money he earned motivated him to audition for stage roles. George danced on Broadway and then tried movies as Hollywood was searching for authentic-looking actors to play gangsters, and George Raff's tough background helped him secure parts. According to biographer Ed Morrell, George Raff's big break came in 1932 when he played opposite Paul Mooney in Scarface, a film so violent that its release was delayed by censors. Yet George became a star, subsequently making numerous gangster films. Raff also became an associate of real gangsters such as Al Capone. In his autobiography, George Raft mentions his favorite fan letter, which reads, "Dear George, you are my favorite movie actor. I like all your pictures. You are a greater actor than John Barrymore. I love you, your mother." Today is also the birthday in 1181 of one of the earliest animal rights activists and environmentalists, the Italian saint Francis of Assisi. In 1791, of French painter Théodore Géricault. In 1849, of Russian Nobel physiologist Ivan Pavlov. In 1865, of English aviator and ornithologist Mary Russell, Duchess of Bedford. In 1871, of American cartoonist Winsor McCay. In 1888, of American Nobel poet T.S. Eliot. In 1889, of German philosopher Martin Heidegger. In 1894, of American actress Gladys Brockwell. In 1895, of British actress Faye Holden. In 1898, of George Gershwin. In 1914, of American fitness expert Jack LaLanne. In 1926, of American pop singer and actress Julie London. In 1927, of American comedian Joyce Jameson. And of American physician and inventor of Gatorade, Robert Cade. In 1933, of American actress Donna Douglas. In 1936, of South African anti-apartheid activist Winnie Mandela. In 1941, of American rock drummer Joe Bauer. In 1945, of British singer-songwriter Brian Ferry. In 1946, of American actress Mary Beth Hurt. In 1947, of American country singer Lynn Anderson. In 1948, of British-Australian singer and actress Olivia Newton-John. And of American bassist and songwriter writer Tyrone Porter. In 1953, of Irish folk singer Dolores Keane. In 1954, of American rock guitarist Craig Cacciacchico and of American civil rights pioneer Tessie Provost. In 1955, of American country singer Carlene Carter. In 1956, of American actress Linda Hamilton. And in 1965, of American director Jill Soloway and of Ukrainian candy maker and president of Ukraine, Petro Poroshenko. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Here's to the first full week of autumn and to the 39th week of 2024.